Frederick Bierman will never forget that day in 1938. He was 7.5 years old, standing on his family's veranda in an upscale neighborhood in Vienna, Austria. It was the perfect spot to watch the Anschluss parade. Thousands of people lined both sides of the street, waving flags and cheering as Adolf Hitler's vehicle passed. He stood in an open Mercedes, saluting the crowd. It was all so exciting. It was like the Messiah had come. It looked like fun. I wanted to be part of it, said Bierman in John Rokosny's documentary, The Kid Officer. The following morning, he discovered what it all really meant for him as a Jewish child. The blonde girl he usually walked to school with ignored him and passed right by him like he didn't exist. Then at school, his teacher grabbed him by the arm and pushed him into a closet where the brooms were kept. She left him there until the end of the day, then opened the door and told him, "Get lost." Bierman stopped going to school after that, and life was never the same again. Months later, the family left everything behind, just before Kristallnacht. Not wanting to arouse suspicion, they departed with only the clothes they were wearing. Bierman's mother, Leah, used her jewelry to pay the ticket inspector in lieu of tickets as the family made their way to Paris. They remained there until they received immigration certificates to both America and Palestine, on the same day. They chose Palestine. After 8 months in Paris, the family boarded a ship, once again paying with the little jewelry they had left to secure a cabin at the bottom of the vessel. In the film, Bierman, now 95, reflects on his life, a coming-of-age story shaped by war and the challenges of starting over in a new country. He recalls his first best friend in Israel, an Arab boy named Zohair, and playing marbles with Hussein bin Talal al-Hashimi, a young Muslim boy who would, at 17, become King Hussein of Jordan. When he was 15, Bierman joined the Haganah, the primary Jewish defense force in pre-state Israel that evolved into the Israel Defense Forces. It was there that he met and befriended Ariel, Eric, Scheinerman. Bierman recalled how he and Eric went to meet Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion in 1948. Ben-Gurion asked the two young men to adopt Hebrew last names. Bierman refused and chose to keep the name his father had given him. Scheinerman, however, changed his last name to Sharon. Years later, Ariel Sharon would serve as Israel's prime minister from 2001 to 2006. Bierman explained he decided to join the Haganah after witnessing how British soldiers turned away Jewish refugees. He said it was the first time he felt free. "I joined the underground and learned how to fight back." Bierman secretly trained while still living at home. During one British curfew search, he hid a machine gun beside his sister in bed, assuming soldiers would not disturb her. "They came into the apartment, looked around," he said. "I got away with it." His parents discovered his involvement in November 1947, when he took part in the defense of Tal Amal, his first battle. Soon after, he joined the newly formed Israel Defense Forces, serving in the Carmeli Brigade. On May 14, 1948, he listened from a foxhole in the Galilee as the State of Israel was declared. "I felt proud. I felt great," he said. But the moment was brief. He went on to fight in multiple battles in northern Israel and was wounded at Mishmar Yarden. Bierman's remarkable story was unknown even to his family and friends. His three children had no idea what a fascinating life he had led. It wasn't until his grandson began searching for a bar mitzvah project and his rabbi suggested he ask his grandfather about his life. So his grandson approached him, asking if he could share stories from his childhood, and that's how the story began to unfold. Rokosny first heard about Bierman through his work with the Shoah Foundation, after they saw his Emmy Award-winning documentary, They Survived Together. He and his partner, Adriat Redman, conducted about 80 interviews with Holocaust survivors over the past 2.5 years. Speaking from his home on the Jersey Shore, Rokosny said that spending extended time with Bierman, who also lives in New Jersey, allowed them to meet often over the course of a year and a half, sharing meals, drinking coffee, and talking for hours. The stories that emerged, he said, were astonishing in both depth and detail. "We started filming when he was 93, and I was amazed by his memory. I think that's part of the military mindset he developed. He cares about what's going on around him, about the people he's with, and he really pays attention, said Rokosny. The 72-minute film includes archival material from pre-war Vienna, illustrating the rich life Austrian Jews once enjoyed. There was a coffee house where Biermann's parents would sit, enjoy coffee and cake, read the newspaper or meet friends. They went to the theater, socialized freely, and no one wondered whether they were Jewish or Christian. They were simply Austrians. Rokosny uses animation throughout the film to bring parts of the story to life. These sequences add a visual richness to the storytelling, helping to bridge gaps in the historical record and making Biermann's recollections feel more vivid. Biermann's father, Marcus, was a captain in the Austrian army. His best friend was Professor Falkenberg. I called him uncle, said Biermann. The day after the Anschluss, he came over in a Nazi uniform. He was in charge of the entire area. He put a swastika on the door and his name on it so they would leave us alone. Falkenberg's wife, a close friend of Leah Biermann, would warn her when it was too dangerous to go outside and even offered to bring her anything she needed from the store. As part of his research, Rokosny visited Vienna and saw the house where the family had once lived. It was still standing, having survived the war. The family had the right to reclaim it afterward, but Marcus refused. I don't want their blood money, he said, even though the house was rightfully his. Fred also went back, hoping to see his old apartment, Rokosny said. As he was riding the elevator up, a woman in the elevator looked at him and said, Fred? It turned out she had been his babysitter. He asked her how she recognized him. He had left when he was 8, and now he was a grown man. She told him it was his eyes, they were exactly the same. Rokosny tried to trace Falkenberg's fate but was unable to find out what had happened to him. Biermann immigrated to New Jersey in 1952 with $1.25 in his pocket. He studied dentistry, got married and raised a family. He still lives there today. After completing the film, Rokosny held a private screening for Biermann, who also attended the New York premiere, followed by a screening for his congregation in New Jersey. He always gets very emotional, Rokosny said. At the end of the film, he's in tears, hugging and kissing us. He is very grateful that we told his story. The Los Angeles premiere of the film will take place on Yom HaTzmaut, Israeli Independence Day, April 22, at Lemley Town Center in Encino, followed by a Q&A with director and writer John Rokosny. Another screening will be held on April 21 at the Museum of Tolerance. For tickets, www.lajfilmfest.org.